Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 Central on CBS.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. It's Paul Jamison here, Jamison Realty with Keller Williams, Jamison Property Investments, and Jamison Property Management. We are here on a gorgeous Saturday. If you're not at the golf tournament, you are probably out and about enjoying this great day. And I hope that you are, because we are. I've shown 9 houses already this morning and looking forward to showing some more this afternoon. So this is a welcome break because I get to talk with you. So this show is about real estate. If you're a first-time listener, welcome, welcome. We're glad you're with us. It is also live. So you can reach us with a real estate question, a bug question, anything having to do with your house, your home, your investment property, you can call. Now, here's what happens, and then I'm going to introduce my friend and ongoing partner in the radio as well. If you want to have a question for us, You call. Jesse will answer the phone. You be nice to Jesse now. He's a good guy. Very short question. Leave your phone number in case we get disconnected, and we'll put you on the air and we'll talk about it. So here's the number. All right, ready? Write it on your hand, on your dash, whatever. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. You can call and ask any kind of real estate question you want to ask. All right. I'm here with the one, the only, wild man of the bug world, and his sidekick, Mr. Marty Ivey and Sam Ivey. Hey, brother Marty.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you back. You know what's so fun is when I'm out and I'm out on calls and people that listen to the show on a regular basis, they'll go, tell me about that Marty guy that's out there. He says, it's like he can't remember, Sam, if you're his nephew or his cousin or what you are.
I get it all the time.
Yeah. So, and your wife's too young to have somebody Sam's age, so we're just going to leave that there. They go, is he for real? I'm going, oh, yeah. He's not only for real. I said, call him up on the phone, and you just watch what he's going to say.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's funny, Paul, because this, I was telling Sam this yesterday. I was out on an inspection this week, and realtor, the buyer, was there, and we were talking. And the buyer turned around and says, you know, I never really knew bugs were so interesting. He says, I was listening to the radio. You know, we did a couple weeks of the radio was was pre-recorded. Says I was listening to the radio, and I was fixing to get out of my car, and this bug guy got on, and it was that show was so interesting that I just stayed in my car and listened to the whole show. It was just fascinating. Says I had a lot of fun just listening, and I looked at her and I said, well, believe it or not, that was me. And she says, really? And the agent looked at me and says, really? I says, yeah, I do it about every other couple Saturdays. I do it. I said, it's been doing it for a long time. Love the show because I love Mother Nature. It's so fascinating. And to get out in the field and see what we do, it's just liberating. It's just fascinating.
Yeah, you know, it's so fun, Sam, because the other day, I guess what you service – do the service work for one of my clients or something.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, yeah, I was wondering if Marty or Sam were going to show up and spray outside or, you know, do something. And you showed up, and it was like, you know, they really don't care that I'm on the radio. They cared that you guys showed up at their house. It was really kind of cool because you guys actually really do show up at the house.
So. Yeah,
we do. We do the actual work, and it really is cool to be out in the field and talking with somebody because we don't know beforehand, and they'll tell us that they listen to the show all the time. And I tell them all the time, I'm like, well, hey, you should call in with a question.
Yeah. I mean, people call me on Mondays. Do they do that with you too?
Yeah, it is.
So I get all these calls on Monday, and I'm like, call in on Saturday while we're here. You're going to help somebody.
They was like, well, I would have sounded stupid. I said, that's a killer question. It would have been great to hear it. I mean, it would have been great. There is no bad question or no dumb question. I think people really think they're going to come off dumb or something like that. And I remember the first time, I don't know how long I've been doing this show, almost, what, 10 years maybe?
Yeah, you are the very first sponsor I had right when we started. You're and right? It's been 10 years,
Mark. Well, this is crazy. And I was telling Sam this. I remember doing the first couple shows. I came in here, I was sweating bullets. I thought I was going to die. I was having anxiety attacks. I mean, it was like... You get the same questions in here that we get out in the field, and they're all great questions. So if you got a question, I don't care. It's about real estate. It's about how the door shut. It's about how the bugs are keeping the door from shutting. Give us a call.
Yeah, 704-570-1110. All right. Clint, we'll pick you up first. You were the bravest. See, you're the second call. The first one kind of went away, but we got you here. So tell us what you got on your mind.
Okay. If you're thinking about selling a house and – it needs minor fixing up work, not major stuff, you know, things like probably needs new carpet, flooring, whatever, fixing up trim, paint, all that stuff. But you're not really into having the money for putting into that, really. So it'd be kind of a hardship to do that. Are you going to really lose a lot if you try to sell it? I don't know if as is the right term, but versus trying to, you know, do all that fix up work.
All right, Clint. So I'm going to give you a Jameson secret. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so if I give you the Jameson secret, you got, at least got to call me to let you be considered to try to sell your house. So if I give you the big secret, okay?
All
right, you ready? All right, here we go. All right, I face this all the time. And what I want to tell you is that there is an answer. And that answer is, if you need carpet, if you need paint, if you need a little bit of cosmetic work, I want you to call up Home Depot. And I want you to get estimates from Home Depot as to what that stuff would cost, or whoever that you choose, okay? You want to call a carpet place or you want to call whatever, okay? And then my point is you take those estimates and we say to the prospective buyer, come pick your own finishes. Here's what the costs are. And the reason I do that is now in their mind, they understand what work and what cost it would take to do those things. Because without bridging that gap, they're going to perceive it to be way more money than it actually is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if you get those estimates and you understand those costs and you say, design your own whatever... carpet, paint colors, whatever the case may be, and that's something you work on your realtor with, the messaging, then when they come to buy, you say, look, we've discounted the price, or here's an allowance to do those things. And then the money does not come out of your pocket, it comes out of theirs.
Okay, I understand that part of it, but the real question I was asking is how does that influence the potential of being able to sell the market? I mean, houses. Is there a lot of people who are really wanting it already all fixed up when they move in, or is there a good market for people say, oh yeah, I realize you're discounting it, and I'm willing to get the work done when I move in, or just
yeah.
before I move
in? Okay, what price point are you in? Are you under 200,000?
No, it's probably the 300 to 400.
Okay, in the 300 to 400, they want it done. So, do you hurt yourself a little bit? But the way you try to get around that message is to try to communicate that way first, and test the market to see if it will respond. Where I have the biggest issue is actually over $500,000, but But you will lose some people that don't want to do anything at all. And Clint, you're smart to be thinking that way. It's they don't want to do anything. So at least by giving those costs, you at least bridge the gap of fear. Make
okay.
sense?
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thanks again, Clint. Norma, can you hold on? We've got a hard break in about 60 seconds, and we want to give you time. So, Norma, hang on, and Marty, Sam, and I will be back, and we'll take your question after the break. Just because we've got just a few seconds, Marty, what are you going to be talking about after we're done talking to Norma?
We'd love to talk about anything, but we really need to talk about ants. Ants are on the rise right now. We're having a lot of ant calls. We do a lot of ant work here in Charlotte.
Oh, I thought we were doing biting stuff.
Well, we're going to
do biting stuff. I was getting into biting stuff, man.
This year, we'll probably do in excess of 600 acres of ant control.
You told me about something like that for fire ants.
For all kinds of ants.
All kinds of ants.
Yeah.
Daggone. Which ant do you squish and smell?
That's the odorous house ants. That's
okay.
My buddy.
Okay. That still freaks me out that somebody actually knows that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You're listening to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Norma, we got you on hold. We'll pick you up after the break. I got Marty Ivey, Sam Ivey, myself, Paul Jamison. We're having a ball on this Saturday edition of Your Real Estate Today. Stay with us. Johnny Cash would never associate himself with a Cinco de Mayo singer, I don't think. Or not. It's not Johnny. Is it not Johnny? It is Johnny?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I saw a ball there.
That sounded like it had a little Elvis twing to
That's
it.
What I'm saying. Uh-huh. That's what I'm saying. I know he doesn't sing that song. But I have this ongoing joke with my wife whenever she says, who sang that? I can never remember their name, and I just say Ricardo Montalban to everything. So, anyway, I don't know why. Stuck in my head. All right, Norma, you're back with the show, Your Real Estate Today. Let's bring up Norma. If you want to have a question, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Norma, welcome to the show.
Hey.
How are you? What can we do for you today?
I have a question. We were looking at a condominium in North Carolina to purchase as a owner-occupied.
Okay.
And there's only 48 units in the complex.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to get a loan on it, and they wouldn't loan us the money because 77% of them were investors.
Yep.
And rental.
Yep.
And so, therefore, the mortgage company wouldn't lend it to us.
That's right.
Is there not a North Carolina statute that would prevent that, so that owner-occupied people could, sell their unit to someone who just owner-occupied?
All right. Were you going for an FHA loan or a VA loan?
No, conventional.
You were going conventional and they wouldn't borrow the money? Was it an FHA-backed loan? See, that's usually an FHA rule. Who was your lender?
I can't remember the name of them now. My daughter was helping me out with the financial, people. It was a local bank,
Okay.
And the other thing was that there was... 27% of the units were 60 days or more behind in their HOA dues.
You know what? I think they did you a favor. Because they come after the ones that comply. So just, it sounds to me like I can certainly chat with you offline, Norma, because I don't think the lending... The lending thing, I think we can solve. Okay, it might just be something from that particular lender. So, if you want to talk offline with me,
we talked to several lenders, and we got the same story.
So it must be under the what they call the condo tell provision, which means if the majority of it is investment, they can't sell the loan on a secondary market. That's why they can't sell the loan if that's the case. And I'm pretty sure about that.
Yeah. So if two investors are buying up the property, I mean, in the long run, that's going to hurt the owner-occupiers because they
cannot
get a loan.
Yeah, and that's my point to you.
There's
I guess my question, isn't there a North Carolina statute that would prevent something like that?
No. That's free market system, as far as I know. There are certain communities where the HOA can restrict the number of rentals, but that's something they do up front. You know, like there are many neighborhoods, like, give you an example, like an Epcot community out in Waxhaw, where they only allow a certain portion of the units. I think it's like 27% or something. It's a minority share to be rentals. And then once that's it, they cut them off. Right.
Yeah, I was accustomed to that because I've lived in properties that are like that. So.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So there, I don't think there's a North Carolina statute. I'm not an attorney, but I had a pretty good night's sleep last night. And I don't think that there is. But in the future, if you run across that and they're delinquent on the dues, I think you dodged a bullet, Norma.
Oh, okay. All right.
All righty. Take care.
Thank you.
You bet. Anytime.
Bye.
All right. Bye. 704-570-1110. Real estate question, house question, under the house question, rental question, investment question,
bug question.
Well, we've got to have the bug question.
Bugs.
Feed me. Crawly question.
Feed me.
704-570-1110. Don't be afraid to call. We're here. That's why we're here, to take calls, and what you ask will help someone else. So be a giver. All right. Marty.
Paul.
Ants.
Ants.
You want to start with ants. I wanted to go to the biting stuff.
Know,
you want to go to the
ants.
Ants
will bite you too.
Yeah,
ants
well,
will bite you too.
Not the kind you pinch and smell.
Well, the odor's house ant, the one that's predominantly that we see in houses right now. And what a lot of people don't realize, these odorous house ants that get in your house, ants are very difficult to identify in the field. And usually the best way you can identify them is through some physical or type of characteristics. And there's three that's kind of predominantly you can identify. One, the primary one is the odorous house ant. That's the one we see the most of in the inside of homes. You can smash him. He kind of smells like rotten coconut. They are primarily... come from the outside. They're extremely bad about getting in masonry voids or concrete voids and within the house system. They are honeydew feeders by nature. They meaning that they like to feed on honeydew. Honeydew is a natural substance that is created when you have ants or other insects that are feeding on your plants, like scale, lace bugs, aphids, those kind of things. Crepe myrtles are extremely bad about getting insects on that feed on them. And when they feed on it, there's a sticky little substance that occurs, and it's honeydew, and these ants love the honeydew. And then when we have a period of heavy rain, what it does is kind of honeydew's washed off, so they get kind of in a panic for food, and they migrate inward. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of that, and they are one of the toughest little ants to get rid of. We see them a lot of times. I've really noticed an outbreak of them here in the last 2 weeks, and because we had the rain and they kind of force inward. And, you know, their colonies will get a lot of time in excess of 10,000 ants, and that's a bunch of ants.
Yeah, but I didn't notice any.
Well, that's
because
you have us.
That's right. How about that, Sam, for a layup right there, buddy?
That's right.
That was a great segue.
I mean, I'm telling you. I mean, it's like I didn't notice any.
Yeah.
Nobody's panicking at my house because they're dying before they get in.
Yeah, that's right.
But it is. Ants are troublesome. We do a lot of fire ant control. A lot of people don't realize. Fire ants here in the United States cost an annual of about $6.7 billion a year in losses. And that's losses to equipment, livestock, and health.
Insane. Where'd you get that? On the internet?
No, I just made it up.
Oh, you did?
Just like
okay.
You. No, it came off the internet. That came off. I learned a lot in these 10 years working with you,
Mark,
Paul.
Hang on. We'll be with you in a second.
Yeah,
we're
going to
need
the break.
We're going to need your break.
Working with Paul. He's a mentor. But yeah,
oh, man.
It
That's
is.
Funny.
It's, but ants are a problem, and we do a lot of fire ant work, a lot of ant work here in Charlotte, and there are problems that some of you need to be mindful of. Let's get the vegetation cut off the house. That's one of the primary things you need to do. And do not blow leaves and debris up against the house.
No.
Excellent habitat.
More cats.
Would you concur, Sam?
I concur.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, how
uh-huh.
many times, Sam, and then we've got to pick up Mark, how many times have you gone to a house and you look and you've seen all the debris around the house that they've blown up against there?
Oh, it happens all the time, especially in the homes where they're back in the woods and surrounded. Uh-huh. They get huge mounds of leaves, and they just blow them. And the wind naturally will push them up against the house, uh-huh. and homeowners don't think about to remove them. Mm-hmm. And honestly, we tell our customers the ones that have the least amount of bushes and shrubs up against the house have the least amount of problems and callbacks. So
I'm
going to
tear it all out and put down pea gravel.
And I think please I'm turn your splash box around.
Yes.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
about to lose my mind.
God makes me insanical. Yeah. Hey, Mark, jump on with us. We'll
Come
see
on,
if
Mark.
We can fit you in.
Fire
how you doing, Mark?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're having a good time. Can you tell?
Sounds like it.
I got
somewhat of a real estate question for you.
Lay it on me.
I am a student of Dave Ramsey and believe in you know every word that he says. And I've listened to him, and he does not like rent to own deals.
Yep.
But he approves of lease with option to buy.
Yep.
Can you explain the difference?
Yes, I can. And you're going to hang on for me through the break because that is an awesome question. And I also agree with Dave Ramsey. And I want to clarify. Can you hang on through the break, Mark?
I can.
Okay. All right. That is an awesome question. When we come back, we're going to explain the difference between rent-to-own and lease with an option to buy. That is an awesome, awesome question.
I concur.
And I did not pay Mark for that question because that's a good one.
That's a good Cinco de Mayo question. Break out the tequila.
Yeah.
What did you feed these guys before I got here, Jesse?
Red Bull. Golly. He gave us Red Bull.
704-570-1110. We're live here in the WBT studios. Give us a call, will you? You got a real estate question stirring around in your brain, a bug question, a crawl space question, a question about, investment property.
Tequila.
Whatever it is. I can't answer tequila questions. That's one of those Pavlov things. Tequila, the word tequila makes me throw up when I say it. We'll be right back to show you real estate today. Stay with us.
Well,
we have a lively show breaks and music today. That's for darn sure. Here in the studio, I'm Paul Jamison, your host, Jamison Realty with Keller Williams, Jamison Property Investments, Jamison Property Management with Mr. Marty Ivey, Mr. Sam Ivey with Ivey Exterminating.
Ta-da.
Yay. If you're out there, you have a question, this is a show about real estate. If you're just popping on, 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Call. We're here. That's why we're here. All right, Mark, you have been most patient, my friend. So to refresh your question, Mark, making sure we get it right, you want to know the difference between rent to own and lease with an option to buy. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. Okay. One of my favorite questions, because I get this asked all the time. All right. When you do a rent to own, you are giving a portion of the rent towards the ownership of the property. So, give an example. You sign a rent-to-own contract, then rent-to-own for $1,000 a month, they're going to apply $150 a month towards this loan, depending on what the terms are that you have with the person you have the contract with. Well, let's just say it applies towards the principal, for lack of better terms. So every month that goes by, the principal goes down by $150. All right? Okay. Now, in that particular case, what happens is you have a loan basically with that seller or that person that is your landlord, quasi-seller. Now, what is bad about that on the renter's side of the equation is that if the seller goes out and leverages up the property or puts loans on the property or does something with the property, you as the buyer, you still don't own it yet. You only own a small piece of it, right? So it puts you in a very, very risky position when you have that individual as your bank, per se. Okay?
Okay.
But the worst part about it is for the owner. If the owner wants to evict the tenant because they have not made their payments, not only do they have to evict that tenant, they have to foreclose on that tenant. And that can take up to 6 months. And that's bad. Okay?
Okay.
Now, let's go with lease to with an option. Okay? What lease with an option means is you have basically two documents. And this is the one that I approve of. So Dave Ramsey and I were lined up on this. We line up on most things, but this especially. You have a lease, which is an agreement between you and the landlord for a set amount of money, just like a standard lease. Then you have a separate second document that says you, Mark, have an option to buy this piece of property over the next X period of time for X amount of money. And for that option, you will give a form of consideration, a dollar, $1,000, $2,000. You are providing an agreement between the two of you that any time within that period set forth in the option agreement, you have the right to purchase that property for that amount of money. If you default on the lease, you don't have any ownership in that property. It's treated like a normal lease is treated. If you don't buy the property, you have no further obligation to that owner slash seller. Make sense?
It does make sense. So follow-up question is, I had a real estate friend of mine tell me that within, I don't know if it was North Carolina or Mecklenburg County, I'm in Mecklenburg County, that any lease with option over the term of 36 months, so 3 years, so basically a three-year, one-month lease option would need to be filed with the clerk of courts, and that was his recommendation.
That is absolutely correct as far as I know as well. I'm not an attorney. Please consult an attorney for more information, but I had a good night's sleep last night. And I would say to you, any option should be recorded. I don't care if it's a year.
And if it's agreed upon with the landlord and the and myself, can terms be written into it, which if we go with a 3 year lease option, that an additional year could be, I'm worried about the financing portion of it.
Yep.
At the end of 3 years. So is it unheard of to ask for another year?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mark. So here, remember, it's a lease with an option to purchase. It's not a lease and, because they're two separate things. So you're dealing with a lease, right? And you're dealing with a option, right? So that option, you can negotiate an extension to that option. And typically, let's, as an example, what you would do is you say, okay, I've got a 3 year option to buy, and then I want 2 1 year additional options for another $300, whatever the case may be. So that you're treating it, it's not tied to the lease. Keep them separate, okay? So if you want to extend it, do that extension with the extensions built into the option, not into the lease. Make sense?
Yes.
And so, yes, the answer to your question is yes. In the option, just put in there you have 2 additional one-year options to continue for X amount of money.
Okay.
Right? But very make good. Sure he doesn't kick you out of the lease and leave you stuck with an option, right? So make sure your lease is also has 2 1-year extension options as well.
Right. That's my biggest concern, is that at the end of 3 years, either we don't have 20%, to put down, or we run into another problem with the financing. And I don't need him saying, well, you know what? No, we're not going to renew the lease. We're going to, you know, I'm just going to put it on the market and sell it out from under you.
Right. But just make sure those two documents time-wise match up, right? You don't want your lease, you don't want one to outlive the other. So if you have a lease, have your lease for 3 years with 2 one-year options to renew. Have your option, 3-year option, with 2 one-year extension options to renew. But you're going to need to provide compensation for those extensions in the option contract, okay?
Got it.
All right, cool.
Very good.
Yeah, man. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. All right. You bet. All right. Marty, one of the things I want to make sure we're not going to have enough time to finish the subject on this segment, but we can extend it into the next. And caller 704-570-1110. We're here. I mean, call. Mark's question was phenomenal. So thank you, Mark. If you have a question, you can help a lot of people. That's why we're here. So be a giver. 704-570-1110. All right, Marty, I'm into the biting thing today for bugs. So fleas and ticks is that your specialty, Sam?
Fleas and ticks and mosquitoes are mine.
I just pointed at him. I just
he was scratching behind his ear earlier. Does that mean anything?
Well, I had fleas, and I put a flea collar and I ran over him. So I'm going to let him answer the question.
Well, if he starts rolling on the ground, then you really got a problem.
Yeah. Now, y'all got a problem then.
I might just start rolling because I want to.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah.
If you have a flea and tick question, Jesse's beard, they might jump in there.
Just roll.
Yeah, just be careful.
Stop,
just
drop,
stop, drop,
roll.
And roll.
I would recommend set it on fire.
A little gasoline helps.
It's a southern thing.
Golly. Okay. So let's start the subject. We got about, 3 minutes. So if we need more time, we can take it after the next break. But, Jesse, stop. Now, I'm going to come over and... She muzzle that boy. All right. I like that guy. All right. Fleas and ticks. Fleas and ticks.
Fleas and ticks.
Mosquitoes. And more.
And here's what happened.
No, mosquitoes are separate. No, let's go to fleas.
They're all biters.
No, but I mean, fleas and ticks, they got legs. They don't have wings.
Well, the fleas,
fleas can jump
150 times the height of his body. Which is
what is that an inch and
impressive.
A half?
Well, you know, it depends on how big the flea is.
Yeah.
I know they go shopping a lot.
That is genetically an avian reply. That is an excellent reply.
That was pretty good.
I
know
true.
They go shopping. I've seen those flea markets all over.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, they do. But no, fleas are a real issue. You know, ironically enough, a couple days ago, I had somebody on Nextdoor, which is a phenomenal app, and they were trying to find information about how to get rid of fleas. They had done everything they could possibly think of to get rid of fleas, had tried everything that you could buy at the store. Nothing was working. And the problem with fleas is you have to continuously vacuum because you have to get rid of those eggs. And she can lay up to 50 eggs a day, but on average, she's normally going to lay about 20 eggs a day. And so you have to make sure you're constantly staying on top of getting rid of those eggs in the house. Pets are a big problem with
fleas.
How
do you know you got rid of them?
They don't bite no more.
The eggs?
That would not be a question if they called bug ivy.
Well, I know that because you did that treatment for us on that house that we bought that was in the distress,
mm-hmm,
remember,
mm-hmm,
out in
mm-hmm.
Matthews?
I do.
And they came, and you got to, like, kill them, and then you got to, like, vacuum them, and you got to do, like, all this stuff, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah. No, you definitely, you want to show up. You want to do a yard spray around the perimeter of the home. Occasionally what will happen, dead animals, wildlife will get into the crawl space. So if you own a home and you keep having a reoccurring problem, you might be having an issue that's taking place underneath the house, and you need to have somebody that's trained to come out and take a look and know where to find the problem that might occur. Sometimes you have to spray under the house, you have to come inside the house, you have to spray Homeowners have to leave the premise of the property for a good 3 hours while we're doing the treatment. We come in, we spray all the carpet, all the furniture down, and the chemical that we use will have a residual left behind. So if something does come back, it'll hit that residual and it'll knock them out as well too.
Okay, so is it pretty common to get fleas in the house?
Oh yeah, fleas are very common in, around the area. They show up. Homeowners have pets, animals, wildlife run around in yards. They show up. That flea needs to get on some form of a mammal to get that blood meal in order to survive and to lay its eggs on the host as well too. And so they're gonna work their way into wherever they're gonna find a suitable environment to lay eggs and survive.
Man. Okay. All right. Well, we'll be back after the breaks. I didn't know that. So.
Well, now you know.
Now I do.
Just here to help.
The show, Your Real Estate Today. Marty and Sam Ivey, along with me, Paul Jamison, your host on the show, Your Real Estate Today, here on News 1110 99.3 WBT. Hang with us. We'll be right back. The show, Your Real Estate Today. Final segment. Man, the time goes fast, doesn't it?
Wow.
Sure does.
Paul Jamison here, your host. Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Investments, Jamison Property Management, along with Marty and Sam Ivey with Ivy Exterminating.
704-334-1616 or bugivy.com.
Woo!
I'm going to get me some bugs. That's what I'm talking
about. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. Wish I had some.
Cinderella story.
Sandwich meat.
Former bug guy becomes pow, wow, bug killing champion.
Yep.
All right. So, we got the fleas done.
Got the fleas.
Let's be talking some ticks.
Ticks.
Ooh.
Ticks. Is it tick season?
What did you tell us about CDC earlier, Sam?
Well, the CDC had just come out with a...
Center for Disease Control.
There you
acronym,
go.
CDC.
CDC.
They've just come out with a study that they have done, and they have found out since 2004 that to 2016 that the number of vector-borne diseases have tripled since that time. And those would be from mosquitoes, flea, tick bites, things like that, Zika, Lyme disease, West Nile, all that kind of stuff.
Now, wait a minute. So, I want to be clear.
Let's be clear.
So they've tripled since when?
Since 2004.
Because what? Why?
Well, we have insects that migrate over through plants, things mm-hmm. like that.
Is it the increased deer population?
Dense development.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. People not addressing water issues. That's one of the major reasons mosquitoes are such a problem.
Yeah, boy, I bet.
You know, splash blocks. Turn around backwards is a good example. Mosquito doesn't need but a Coca-Cola bottle cap to reproduce in
wow.
of water. And
that blows my mind.
It is. I mean, Mother Nature, you just got to love her. You just got to love her because she's going to take it back.
Yeah.
If you want to call in
704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. You know, just to finish up on the tick thing and then let's move into the mosquitoes. I mean, as far as ticks are concerned, do you really do any kind of treatment?
We do. They're bad. You know, a tick will hang from its hind legs from a tree and wait for the host animal to come by and drop from it. So one of the big advantages, and when I talk about this all the time, and it doesn't get a lot of traction, is the fact that if you're doing mosquito control, we're coming around your house and we're treating your shrubs and your plant growth, your trees, your low-lying trees. We're treating all this with a low-level toxicity insecticide that not only does it kill insects that are feeding on your plants, it'll make your plants healthier. It helps eliminate your mosquito population, and it helps keeps down your ticks around your house, your ticks and your fleas around the house. So that's one of the huge advantages. I mean, it's like you're just getting you're just hitting a mother load. It's like you're hitting a jackpot when you're having these mosquito services done by us. And all mosquito services are not created equal. I'm going to say that. There's a lot of people. We live in a world of rapid consumerism. And doing business with us will liberate you from the anxiety that you have with these other pest control operators.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, Marty, that I learned very early on, and I didn't really understand it, is that where the mosquitoes come from,
right,
and what they feed on,
right,
and the fact that it actually can be treated. I just thought because I lived near, you know, at one point water and one point woods, that there wasn't a thing I could do, and mosquitoes were going to come just because of the environment that I lived in, and I just had to live with it. And so I needed to, you know, take the deep dip, just go outside.
Well, the mosquitoes actually get their nutrition from plant growth. They're feeding on the plant growth around your house. It's a female that bites you. It's not the male. It's the female that bites you, and she's biting you to get protein to reproduce. But people don't realize that. Most female mosquitoes, they're going to be within 30 feet of the host animal. They're going to fly within 10 feet. They're going to land on a vertical substrate of some nature. She's going to get her sea legs back, get her wind back, and she's going to fly right to the host animal, take a blood meal. Then she's going to fly on a vertical, usually a vertical limb or vertical plant growth or somewhere. She's going to drop some of that water out of the blood, and then she's going to drop off that, start flying, go find her some water, and she's going to lay her some eggs.
And that mosquito will bite you.
And what makes it itch, this is the interesting fact.
Oh,
this
you tell, no, you here can't, I got sick last
when
time.
When that
you talk,
needle,
no,
she's got like a, she's yeah, got like a tattoo needle that runs down in you.
Last time, Sam, don't
And when she's
it.
Sucking that blood up, it will coagulate and stiffens up. Well, she throws up in that tube.
Dude, I'm telling you.
And she throws up in that tube.
Gosh, little, I just vomited little, in my mouth.
A little small.
Right there.
What I refer to as foamy pig. And she throws up in that tube, and then the next thing you know is itching. So, you know, I'm just telling you.
Will somebody call in, please?
Yeah, somebody.
Got an itching for a stitching.
Shoot up in here because we need
to ask any kind of question. Yeah. I don't care if it's about a carnival ride at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Have you ever noticed when a
704-570-1110,
please? When a fly lands on something, if it's feeding on some kind of food, it gets up, there's a little tiny little glossy spot on the food.
I'm going to.
And that's because that fly's got a little sponge, and it puts that sponge down there.
Sam,
and that sponge ain't getting enough. It throws up on that sponge. It throws up on that sponge. And that's how these diseases get born. That's what the CDC's talking about.
That's exactly
right.
I'm just
scientifically speaking, of course.
We'll call it regurgitation, if that makes you feel better.
No.
Like sniffing an ant. It's like when you crush that odorous house ant and you're sniffing. You got it. It's scientific.
He
but
wants
you gotta,
me to throw up.
You got to pray.
Yes, he wants me to puke.
You got to pray. There's no such thing as reincarnation.
You know what?
Because you got that ant up in your nose and sniff that ant.
Yeah. You know what?
He's got to remember you, and it sends a signal to all his friends.
Yeah.
All right. You know what mosquitoes like to feast on, don't you?
What? Yeah.
Horses. Speaking of horses, the Kentucky Derby is today, gentlemen.
Yes, man.
I know. I was watching some of the previews.
Speaking of horses, Tryon Equestrian Center down in Tryon, North Carolina.
That's right.
Unbelievable facility.
That's right. Jan needs to come in before the big show again.
She does.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to tell you something a whole heck of a lot less regurgitating. Okay? Just real quick before we... Man, I don't even have time.
No,
We've run out of gas.
All right.
Yeah.
So how do they find you, Mr. Regurgitator?
704-334-1616 or bugivy.com.
Woo!
That's what I'm talking about.
Get me some bugs.
That's right. Marty and Sam Ivy. I'm exterminating. And, of course, you can always call me if you want something that's real estate related. Jameson Realty, Jameson Property Investments, Jameson Property Management. We're here for you to get the job done. Opportunity is knocking, and we're thankful for you all. 704-846. Done. 704-846-3663. God bless. Talk to you all next week, and we'll continue on the show, Your Real Estate Today, News 99.3 WBT.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench.
Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.